It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Season's greetings and welcome into Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Justin Russo alongside Megan Bozek here for today's show. And Megan, this is a fun one. A couple days before Christmas, festive times for the VGK, but they still have some business to take care of tonight against the Anaheim Ducks.
Festive time. Absolutely. If you watched Saturday's game, you would have seen a few Grinch sweaters, which is okay. But it's just an enjoyable time, but no better time to watch a winning Vegas team.
And the Golden Knights looking to give one more gift to their fans before Christmas. Of course, they've given them a couple already on this homestand, a win over Seattle and a win over Vancouver already, a couple Pacific Division opponents. Another Pacific Division opponent enters tonight in the Anaheim Ducks. And it's a team that the Golden Knights have fared well against this season, three wins already. But one of those games that, again, you can never take lightly. And I think the Golden Knights have done a good job at expressing that, that they have to be ready for each one of these games.
It's hard not to look forward at your opponent to say, this is my strength, this is their weakness. Mm-hmm. But it's in your nature to do that. You have to look at what makes you successful, what will make you successful versus those other teams. So for Anaheim, who has struggled this year, Vegas is 3-0 against them already throughout the season. Yep. They're almost done playing them, but you have to look back at the past three games, outscoring them tremendously. But where are they successful? Vegas is successful off of the faceoffs. Mm-hmm. Their faceoff percentage is incredible this year, so I think they need to take advantage of that. Last game, Eichel, a tap through against Seattle for a goal. That's what makes them strong in their offensive zone.
And Jack saying that was just one of those plays where beats his centerman, gets to the wall, wins a battle, and kicks it out in front to Brett Howden. That was the second goal on the board for Vegas. And again, another period for the Golden Knights in that first period where they give up the first goal to Vince Dunn on Saturday, and you're thinking again, okay, here we go. Another one of these slow starts. And the players and Bruce Cassidy acknowledged that after the game where they know that they're starting slow. They want to start better. But they do love the resiliency to be able to come back in these games and come back pretty quickly to get some goals on the board.
And as Bruce had mentioned, the slow starts, but they're finding a way to win.
Yeah.
So how much do you harp on, and what do you consider a slow start? You are going to get a goal scored on you, maybe before you score yourselves, but does that constitute a bad start?
Yeah.
No. Have they started slow the last few games, though? Yes, they have. So finding a way to be ready off the drop of the puck, focusing on that first 5 minutes, trying to keep it 0-0 so then you can get back to your game. But Bruce has mentioned time in and time out. They are finding a way to win. They are getting scoring from every level, specifically their defenders. William Karlsson having a great season. Jack Eichel having a tremendous season.
Yeah.
So they're finding a way.
And you know, I think for Bruce Cassidy, too, he talked to Dan Duva before the game on Saturday, and he mentioned that, you know, he was comparing the teams of years past with the Golden Knights this year's team. And that was one of the things he said, was that this team just, throughout it all, finds ways to play winning hockey. And that's what's most impressive about this team, too, is because he'll look after a game and say, man, we got to get our starts down. Man, we got to do this in the offensive zone. We got to get our faceoffs down. We got to do this. And yet he looks up at the scoreboard at the end of the game. And he says, well, we got 2 points and we won. So it's always good to have the win in your pocket despite trying to improve these things.
So if you go back into the coach's office, what do you say? So not a strong start versus Seattle.
Yeah.
Not a strong start at all. I'd say the first 6 to 8 minutes, it wasn't good hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're up 3-1. So where do you take that into the locker room? Do you stress on that was not a great start? Or we're up 3-1, we've had some beautiful goals. Where and when do you talk about these starts?
Yeah.
It's tough to navigate as a coaching staff because, like Bruce has said, they're finding a way to win.
Yeah.
He has, what he said yesterday, there's experience in the room. They're calm on the bench, which is so important. If you're calm, no one's getting too high, no one's getting too low, mm-hmm. which means the coaching staff won't get too high, won't get too low. And there's confidence in themselves, and you can see that throughout the players with how they're playing. They're able to play their style. They're also able to play a role that Bruce wants, but they can also play free and different positions.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Vegas lineup. Close your eyes, pick a name out of a hat. And those are the lines that are going, it seems, to the viewers. And there's obviously structure behind the chaos. But what a better time to do that now than before trade deadline, stressing about what you have. So now you're seeing personnel, Tanner Lyzinski. You're trying to fill Nick Waugh's spot, but he's a center.
Yeah.
So do you start him at the wing? Do you put him at center? He's bounced back and forth. You now have Hurdle on a line with Carlson. Where and when and how do you take advantage of that? And the answer is now.
Yeah.
You look at pairs that you want to put with one other player. You take advantage of that now because they're finding a way to win.
I think that's another good parallel between this season and the year that they won the Cup, too, because you look at that year, they had so many injuries, but moving toward the playoffs, the line combinations and some of the duos that they found with the Eichels and the Marchessaults, and it all came together because of what they were able to do in the regular season. They had some injuries, and they said, okay, we got to pair these guys together, and that works out kind of well. And I think a great point you bring up with Tanner Lyzinski, where Bruce even said in the game, or after the game on Saturday, that they were up, they had a lead. He just wanted to get Tanner Lyzinski out there. He wanted to get him minutes. He wanted to play him at center because he's been hurt when he's had opportunities to come up to the VGK. They haven't had a chance to really get a good look at him. And so now's the time for that evaluation, right? And you want to try to evaluate these guys, see how they can go. And I like what Bruce said after the game, too, when he mentioned Brett Howden. He said, Brett knows he's not starting and finishing in the same spot in these games. He knows he's going to move around. And I think that's good, too, to show off the versatility of some of these guys. And you look at a guy like Howden, it just seems like no matter what he does, where he is in this lineup, he's going to produce.
It's the adaptability for the players to be ready when they're called upon. Yeah. I know when I was playing, if I played 25 minutes a game, which happened, or if I played 2 minutes a game, you have to be ready when you are called upon.
Yeah.
But it just shows the depth and the veteran leadership that they have on their team. That will take you far into regular season, not looking ahead to playoffs yet. They're in a pretty good spot for now. But you have to rely on that depth and that veteran leadership that they have.
And for the Golden Knights, you mentioned that good spot that they're in, tops in the Pacific Division, of course, still. And these four-point games that we love to call them with all these Pacific Division opponents, they're going to continue because Calgary's coming into town just after the Christmas break. They're in San Jose for a game after the Christmas break. So a lot of teams within the division that they're just trying to keep down a little bit here in this stretch.
Don't focus on the other teams. You always have to focus on what you're producing. But like I said at the beginning, it's hard not to look ahead. It's hard not to say, okay, we have so many great qualities about us, but are we going to capitalize on the weakness of the opponent? You look at Seattle, okay? Last game, they didn't put a strong foot out. I think they'd want some of those plays back and some of their structure back, but you have to capitalize on that. But at the end of the day, you are preparing to play your best hockey because if you know what you have in the room, you can confidently say, okay, this is what our structure is. This is what our plan is. But then that could all change the first 2 minutes. Holtz takes a penalty the other night.
Yep.
Doesn't see the ice a lot after that. So now this is where the line juggling happens, but you have to be ready.
Yeah. And you mentioned that penalty and really the start overall for Vegas. Bruce talked about that after the game too and a little bit yesterday in his press conference, specifically about a guy like Pavel Dorofeev, where there were some guys in the beginning that, maybe a wake-up call in the beginning of the game where he just wanted the team to play a little bit better. He didn't feel that certain lines were doing that. And, for a guy like Pavel Dorofeev that is such a goal scorer and has consistently produced for this team, they even noted that it's probably the first stretch for him where it hasn't all been going well. And I think for Bruce, he wants him to continue to play that 200-foot game because even though he's a goal scorer, to get on the ice, you're going to have to play that defensive game. You're going to have to play a complete game, which he's done, and he's given credit to Pavel for doing that. But, for a guy like him, first kind of slump as a young guy, they always say you got to go to the net, get the greasy goal. That's what Bruce even said yesterday, but trying to find your way through a slump, how do you think he's fighting through it right now?
He's a perceived goal scorer. So when you're in a slump, I was not a perceived goal scorer, so can't quite comment on that part, but when you're perceived to put up points every night and you're going through this, it's going to be the first of many for him because I see him having a very strong career.
Yeah.
So may as well get it done now while your team is still successful. But Bruce has to put him now in these positions where he may, I don't want to say fail, but he may fail.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be producing like he wants, but it's how to battle through that, how to battle through playing other teams' top lines as well. So Bruce has faith in him. Bruce has confidence in him. But like you said yesterday, Bruce just talked about him not forcing those plays, playing simple, and then the good things will come. But if you're Pavel, you have to think in the back of your mind, why aren't I scoring? And that weighs on you. As a player, it weighs on you. You don't want to think about that, but you're thinking about it because that's what you're perceived, and that's how you're supposed to be playing.
And I think goal scoring is, of course, it's a magnified area of the game, right? But even if you're a defensive kind of guy and you feel that that part of your game's lacking, we heard Noah Hanifin talk about that too, where he said, you know, I want to get my defensive game back when he was even producing some offensive numbers. You know, I want to get that back in order before I get to the offensive game because he wants to be that complete kind of player. So anytime you have something in your game that you feel is a strong suit lacking, you want to get back to it. And for Pavel Dorofeev, hopefully he can get back to it. And again, it just shows off the depth of this team where it's not the same guy every night. It doesn't have to be the same guy every night. You expect Jack Eichel and Mark Stone and the likes of those guys to get things going offensively and consistently produce. But down the lineup, the Kolesars, the Howdens, at times Dorofeev, these guys are all filling in the holes when they need to.
And that's good, and it speaks measures to where players can play different nights.
Yeah. We'll step aside here on Nighttime at Noon, but before we do, have you ever wanted to own a piece of Golden Knights history? Well, VGK Authentics is the official channel for game-used items coming off the ice. From game-used pucks to game-worn jerseys and everything in between, owning something from your favorite Golden Knights player has never been so easy. Shop VGK Authentics on VegasTeamStore.com, at the Arsenal at City National Arena, and at the VGK Authentics kiosk behind Section 10 at T-Mobile Arena during games. Justin Russo, Megan Bozek with you. Back with more in a moment on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back here on Nighttime at Noon, and attention all dog parents, you can now join the VGK Canine Club, a free-to-join community created for fans united by their love of the Golden Knights and their love of their canines. Members will enjoy benefits such as an exclusive newsletter, content, information on meetups, and 10% off select dog-related products at the Arsenal. Become friends forever by joining the VGK9 Club today. Justin Russo, Megan Bozek back with you with Darren Elliott now on Nighttime at Noon. I now have two of the three members of tonight's TV booth for tonight's game between the Anaheim Ducks and the Vegas Golden Knights. And, you know, Darren, you two were on the desk together for Saturday's game against the Seattle Kraken, and now you get to hop in the booth together.
Be fun. Something different. Three-person booth, not one up, one down in terms of the analyst. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited.
Should be some fun times. Yep. And, you know, for the Golden Knights, we were talking a little bit in the first segment about tonight's matchup with Anaheim and, you know, the fact they've beaten Anaheim three times already, but you don't want to take any game lightly, right? No. And this is a spot, you never want to say, like, trap game or whatever, but the Golden Knights have been home. They've handled it nicely being home throughout the holidays and all the distractions that come with it, and they've gotten two wins already. Can they get a third?
I think they can. The Ducks are feeling pretty good about themselves, though, right? They've won three or four. Mm-hmm. Come back yesterday from a 4-1 deficit to win in a shootout. So, you know, they're feeling pretty good. And you can't overlook anyone because you can get goaltended at any particular time. you know, they've talked about not wanting to give up the first goal, but it hasn't bothered them. When they get to their game, they've been able to stay at a high level for an awfully long time.
You talk about getting goaltended, and for the Golden Knights, the goaltending has been pretty solid of late. You know, for both of you guys, the first goal against for Vince Dunn in the Seattle game, probably a little shaky one from Ilya Samsonov, but he recovered very nicely, and he played a really solid, you know, final 50 minutes of that game.
Yeah, that's how it's been going, really, with the goaltending. You know, they make the clutch saves. They don't get a lot of work.
Yep.
The team gets to their game defensively, and you have to make a handful of saves to make a difference, and he was able to do that.
And you have to rely on your goaltenders to make those big saves, but happening in the first 1 to 7 minutes, that's tough, right? They haven't had a lot of preparation for those big shots, but then he's come up so big in the rest of the game and making those saves that encounter let Vegas play their game through the neutral zone.
And to his credit, four of his wins were in the second half of back-to-back. So his role has been pretty well defined, and he's come through shining colors.
Bruce Cassidy even mentioned that, the tough schedule that he's been given just with, like you mentioned, the
back-to-backs. That's the role.
Yeah, and especially, what would you know about that? And, you know, for the back-to-back against Minnesota, you know, trying to find that ice time early, he really credited his preparation for that game, and that tandem is really starting to show up for this Golden Knights team again like we've seen in years past.
And the thing about it is, watch them interact together. It doesn't always work that way. You're not always, you don't have to be, you know, warm and fuzzy with your goaltending partner. It helps, and they seem to have really good camaraderie and good support for one another.
And you'd have to think that they're learning from each other day in and day out, practices, games.
Pushing, you hope, yep. Right?
Always striving to be better. And I know as a player, I was always looking, how can I make myself better? How can I make my teammates better? Mm-hmm. And it starts with goaltending.
And one of the other areas of camaraderie and continuity for this Golden Knights team has been the back end. You know, the blue line has been pretty solid in terms of just the availability that the guys have had of late. Ben Hutton on the men working his way back too. And, you know, what can you say about, you know, we'll start with you, Megan, with some experience in that spot. The way that the continuity helps not only the goaltender, but just overall the defensive game.
Defense wins championships.
Simple enough.
Starts and ends with goaltending.
That's it.
Maybe not so
simple. It starts and ends with goaltending. That's the name of the game. Play hockey. It's just all about the goaltenders. But it starts in your defensive end. So if you can have clean exits, breakouts, which we saw a good glimpse of against Seattle last game, then you can have your team work through that neutral zone, entering the offensive zone with speed. Mm-hmm. But it starts always in your defensive end. It's not going to be 60 minutes of play in the offensive zone. No. How do you recover from those plays? Are you properly back-checking? Are you properly putting numbers on people, shadowing the other team's best players? Yeah. But it all starts in the defensive end.
And to that point, Bruce Cassidy, that's been the point of emphasis since he got here. You play good defense, everything starts there. And as Megan says, it's not just playing defense. They don't mind rolling around in their own zone. They will, as long as you keep it to the outside, and they do that a lot. Yeah. So in terms of numbers, lots of times it'll look like the other team is out-possessing them, if you will. But that's kind of by design. Make them have to settle for a shot that your goaltender should be able to handle, and they've been very good at that.
And I know trying to push the other team to the outside, it's a bit of a hesitation. You're trying to intimidate them to say, I can now zone you off. I can block you off into a corner, panic, hesitate, and then hopefully just throw the puck on net where our goaltender better be ready.
Well, and you bring up a good point because it's a system.
Yeah.
Like, some teams play man-on-man, and then it breaks down because one person gets beat, and then another person tries to overcompensate, and then it breaks down. But the way you play that man zone is completely different, and you have to all be in sync, but when you get it locked in like the Golden Knights have had, it's very difficult to get interior ice.
That layered system of defense that we always hear so much about from Bruce Cassidy. And you know, we've made a lot of talk about the pairing of Noah Hanifin and Alex Petrangelo of late and them trying to find their game and, you know, meshing their styles together as two kind of similar players. But I wanted to touch on a pair that has just brought stability since day one, Shea Theodore and Braden McNabb. And I think, you know, a lot of the inner workings of the defense corps and trying to pair together Hanifin and Petrangelo is a lot easier when you have the stability of another pair like Theodore and McNabb that just go out there and get it done every night.
You have two pairings that play a lot of minutes, right? So they're both capable to do that. And the thing about Theodore and when you take a look at Theodore and McNabb has offensive game, but that's not his role on that pair. It'll flash when it can, but, you know, it's about freeing up Shea Theodore so McNabb takes not a lesser role, but the more defensive posture first all the time once it's outside the zone, and then Theodore can start dancing and skating because he's a marvelous skater.
And McNabb has to play with poise, and the vision that he has I feel like is one of the most underrated in the NHL, which makes Theodore then play that offensive game that he can.
From the defense corps up front, you know, I wanted to talk about, and we mentioned this too, the ever-changing lines of Bruce Cassidy in these games. And, of course, one of the spots now that they're looking to get some production out of is that top-line winger spot that's been left vacant by Evan Barbashev with his injury. Saw Pavel Dorofeev up there for a bit. We saw a goal from Brett Howden in that spot. But how have you seen that kind of evolution of guys on that left wing in the last couple of games without Barbashev?
No one is going to be able to give you what Barbashev gives you. He's had chemistry with Jack Eichel since he got here.
Yeah.
Then Mark Stone, of course. To me, it's just who's going, right? And who's able to play. Because those two guys are going to create chances.
Yeah.
So you have to – do you have the capability, the confidence to go on that line and do what's needed? Reading off of them. You're never going to lead it. So you have to read off them. And I think Victor Olsen, I think he gets a chance tonight. to start there. But again, we've seen, and Megan, you've been in town a week this time around, and you've seen how quickly he changes the dynamics with the lines if he doesn't feel a player's going or the team needs something different.
You look at two games ago, Holtz takes a penalty, doesn't see the ice much after that in the period, but you have to be ready to play on that top line. What does Jack Eichel need on a left wing? What is he looking for from his winger? He knows how Markstrom plays day in and day out, so that's never a question. But you need someone that will get first to the puck, someone that will get Jack the puck so he can produce that speed entering the zone, but he also needs someone that can play around the house, that can play around the front of the net. And I just think back to the tap goal, the tap through against Seattle. Matty Beniers is standing there saying, okay, I've lost my check. Jack goes forward. Howden's open. That's a beautiful play, but that's also one of the most skilled plays.
Right.
That doesn't just happen.
No.
And not a lot of centers can just do that like Eichel can, but now you have to read and react off of where Jack is going to be. So he's looking for someone that can play a few different hands in the game, can play a few different roles, but that will be consistent with his type of play.
In talking to Mark Stone early in the season, I said, how is it, you know, playing with Jack and what have you had to learn? He says, he's going to play one-on-one, and he's going to win the one-on-one matchup almost every single time. So that dictates where I should go. And then where he goes, that's where the other guy has to read where to be. Howden, drive the net. Right, so it's in the moment and understanding all those types of things.
And Jack even mentioned that was a design play. I just got to get the puck forward. I got to beat my guy. And if you get to the net, good things are probably going to happen.
And you recognize that Mally didn't believe you that it was a design play.
Right? Like there's some like face-off plays. They're a thing that you have to practice because if you're going to read off of how Anaheim will set up tonight, say they have a winger on the wall, say they have a D on the wall, you're going to run something with a quick pop play. But you have trust in your centers that they can win that draw or win it forward if that. But there's something special about a designed play.
And then when it works. Oh.
Well, you have to.
In the blink of an eye.
You have to go back if it doesn't. But when it does, it's beautiful. And now this is why we talk about but you have to think other teams are going to talk about
it. But it's not even that big of a deal, right? Because if you, like I said, Gretzky used to lose draws on purpose instead of going forward like Jack did there. But if you tie of Beniers does a better job, you're still on the forecheck.
You're in a good spot.
Right. You're not in a negative situation. It's not like they're breaking the other way. But to have it where it's a design play and it works, oh man. That's
I've been on both ends of that. So I can
tough spot to be in.
I can speak on behalf of feeling so good. We used to have a breakout play at University of Minnesota. Our winger goes to change when it's on the strong side by our bench. Our winger would go change. We would fly someone out, and we would ice the puck and rim it all the way around. We'd beat him on the icing, and it worked one time in my career. One time. We didn't try it that many times, but it worked once. That's all I needed. You catch a team on their heels that's satisfied with just playing a box in the zone and a quick rim out, and with our speed that we had, it worked. That's all I needed was one time.
And when you have those attributes like Eichel, the speed and size combination, catching a team off guard like that, it's tough to get back into position and try to get there to stop Jack Eichel once he's in an advantageous spot. And you know, from that play that happened in the blink of an eye, I wanted to turn to a play that Tanner Pearson made on Noah Hanifin's goal. It was funny watching him enter the offensive zone and the effort that he had to keep
one
that play
four.
Alive a couple of times. And we had him on the post game on the radio, and he joked. He said, yeah, I dumped it in, and then I got dumped into the boards, and then I made a pass, and I got dumped into the boards again. He said, I was just trying to get to the bench. Brett Howden's laughing at me because my helmet's all sideways. And he said, well, it was a great shift, though. You got things going for the goal.
Well, the part of that, no joke aside, it turned out well, so everybody remembers it.
Yeah.
And we can have a little bit fun with it. But everybody else was changing, right? So he has to – he didn't just give the puck up and give up possession. He controlled it as long as he could, got knocked down, got back up, made a play. And defensively, they're not in any position because everybody's coming off the bench, which is always difficult to pick up who should be your next assignment defensively. And, you know, for that, Hanifin was, like, right there, snaps at home, made it look easy.
And – like you just said, keeping possession is the biggest part
of
the game. Vegas doesn't want to lose possession.
No.
And if you're going to do an almost wholesale change with four out of five
changing, you've got to be the one.
You have to take a hit and make a play at the same time. This is why they're getting paid the big bucks.
And another goal where it's a defenseman scoring and Noah Hanifin. We've seen that a lot lately between Hanifin. Nick Hague had a goal in that game. Alex Petrangelo going back to the game on Thursday. They're continuing to get goals in many different ways. And as much as we talk about the Pearsons and the Kolasars and the Howdens, those guys on the back end are getting it done too.
Rounds it out nicely, doesn't it?
Defense wins championships.
In multiple ways.
I'll tell you that, but you have to have production from...
You do.
I don't want to say every line, but I do want to say every D pairing and every line. Whatever their role is, you're still trying to find a way to put your name on that score sheet. But that's what Bruce is expecting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's relying on the back end to shoot those pucks, take those blocks, make those hits, but also score those goals.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, you know, for the longest time, it was, okay, you kind of are soft coming back into your zone. And then the teams got really good defensively. Five guys are committed to playing defense. Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't commit five guys to playing offense, you're not going to score very much. So it was a point of emphasis for this team coming in. They're 10th in the league right now in terms of points produced from the back end. It's something they focused on. And you look at the things they focused on coming into the season, the power play, scoring from the defense, always divisional games, Western Conference, the records show that. So, and a very mature team, you know, a very veteran team, they know what those are things coming in. That we're going to be a better team. How are we going to round out our scoring with what we quote-unquote supposedly lost? Well, D has to be more active. Read it right, and they've done a really good job of it.
So for the Golden Knights tonight, taking on the Anaheim Ducks, feel like they're in a good spot heading into the Christmas break. We've talked a lot of hockey, so I do want to talk a little Christmas now. You know, Bruce was asked yesterday his favorite Christmas movie, so I want to get each of your answers. Mine, personally, I love Elf. Elf is one I got to watch every year. What about you guys?
Elf is up there, but then on the other end, The Holiday.
Okay.
I love that, so.
Yeah, Elf, and a lot of it has to do with the age of our kids at the time when it came out. And so it becomes kind of a, you know, one we have to watch together when we get together for the holidays. We're lucky enough to do that and watch Elf. We also, on the other end of it, Krampus.
Okay.
You want to watch that one?
I don't know if I have. I don't, you know.
It's a scary movie.
Bruce mentioned some of the animated ones,
oh,
too,
yeah,
that
back,
I love.
Back
Rudolph,
in the day.
Grinch, and those things. Those are always classics as well.
I haven't hit the animated part yet, maybe when my son gets older.
True.
But for my husband and I, we enjoy watching Office Christmas Party or The Night Before, so more of an adult-tailored movie. But the holidays are exciting. It's fun. It's time to spend with friends and family. And even for the players tonight, they're – so to speak, could be distractions, family coming into town, the in-laws are visiting, whatever it may be. But it's an exciting time to play in front of the biggest support system that you have.
And it's fun to be at the rink, always, but especially at the holidays.
Oh, yeah, and it's fun, too, because we hear so many times when these guys go on the road to different cities that, oh, now I get to play in front of my family. We heard that a lot on the East Coast road trip, too.
Sure.
Now they get to come here and they get to have a good time. Hopefully Golden Knights fans for Christmas Eve tomorrow can watch some Golden Knights highlights from a win from the Anaheim Ducks, and then they can get into their favorite Christmas movies. Darren, thank you so much for joining us
here
at Nighttime at Noon.
See you tonight.
We'll
see
step aside. Two of the three-person booth here tonight for tonight's game against the Anaheim Ducks. Back with more in a moment on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back here from Studio 31 on Nighttime at Noon, and want to let you know that part of the Foley Entertainment Group, AFC Bournemouth, is climbing the table in the English Premier League, where they take on some of the best football teams in the world. Show your support for the Cherries by catching their matches via stream on NBC's Premier League coverage or streaming on Peacock. Make sure to also visit the Arsenal at City National Arena to pick up some Bournemouth merch, including jerseys, scarves, and more. To learn more and be a part of the club's exciting new era, make sure to visit afcb.co.uk. Up the Cherries! Justin Russo, Megan Bozek, back with you here on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. And we're now going to take a listen into Bruce Cassidy's press conference that he had just a few moments ago, right down the hall.
Not yet. I had it yesterday on Netflix by accident, so I know why it's available to me, but I switched to the Dallas Cowboys and Atlanta Falcons. Well, did you?
Did you follow through? Okay, well, let me see. Who's the, what is the name of the island that they land on? Nice, that's good. And who's the fellow they run into that is looking for silver and gold? All right, you guys are on it. I like it. Good students. Yes. Boy, he's not in Rudolph, right? It's like, I do not know. Who is
only one currently in the NHL right now.
Jeremy Swayman's Alaska. He's up, but not. Who are the other? UConn. Is it, I don't know, who is it? Oh, that's right. He is from up that way. Yeah, I was thinking of, where did Scotty Goldman, is he Alaska too? I know he's not in the league anymore. Was he? So not UConn, but that neighborhood. Put down that hat. Now you watch Frosty, that's not terrible. That's not terrible. Or give me that hat. I forget. He keeps.
It is terrible.
No, no. Yeah, the house we had. I was in Winchester. It was more accessible. That's this one. The higher walls and stuff. So I don't want to sort of have an accident. So I should have hired someone. But that kind of takes away from fun of it, right? If you don't do it yourself.
No trips up to Mount Charleston for the Cassidy family?
There may be tomorrow. Oh, to get a tree? No, we've got a fake. I asked that question. How do a lot of people, I didn't think anybody got real trees here. Do they? So here's the problem, I think, in the U.S. So a little history. Canada, we don't put our tree up until probably used to be a week or 10 days before because they dry out because we always had real trees. So you're by the end, you got needles everywhere. So I wonder how people keep them, the live ones here. They must have to water them and fire hazard and all that because it comes right after Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving is October, so we don't have that tradition. But anyway, I always thought that was weird here when I first moved to the U.S. It's like, you got your tree up? I'm like, it's November. I don't have my tree up. And so now it's a thing. So now we put our tree up early, but it's fake. So no hazard there, I don't think. Yeah, well, we've closed in the second half of them for us personally, so we understand what it takes. I think I've always thought that if you're playing the back-to-back, that the team, a more veteran team usually handles them better. They're just used to preparing. You'd think it would be the opposite, right? Young legs, you can handle it better, but I've always found that the more veteran teams handle them better. So how that'll affect Anaheim, I don't know. I know that they had a nice comeback win. When you're down 4-1, you're probably not thinking you're winning, and you get points. So they will be coming in here and feeling good about their game, right? Because it ended really well for them. So that's the part we'll emphasize to our guys. What we need to do to keep playing well, no matter who we play, will be basically our focus. And we talked a bit about that already this morning. And the break we addressed yesterday, we kept some guys off the rink, and the break starts tonight at 10:30, 11, right? Not 7 o'clock. And I've heard the players say that themselves, so hopefully they're mindful of that as well. No, they're not playing tonight. So we'll keep them as day to day. So they'll get the break to hopefully recover better. I can't tell you if they'll be playing in San Jose coming out of the break yet. So probably the 26th, I'll have a better idea.
How much time?
Yeah, I think sometimes with Aiden, he's active, so he likes to play the puck. So to me, if he's focused and sharp with that, means, okay, he's into the game. He's got everything covered, right? A puck play, where am I going with, et cetera. But when he's in the net, is how active or not active is he? I think when he's kind of calmer in there and feeling good about his game, playing post to post, not worried about getting outside the post and kind of scrambling, right? Now, sometimes that's required, but in general, where are the rebounds going? Are there any rebounds? Or is he controlling them? Or is he putting them in good places? Those are the cues for me. When he's on and he seems quieter. I guess that was the term we used, quieter in the net. That's when I think he's playing his best hockey.
Well, as you can tell, there, a very technical press conference there with a lot of X's and O's talk from Bruce Cassidy, Frosty the Snowman impression, some talk about some Christmas trees. The festivities continue with Bruce Cassidy. Yesterday he had his dog Winnie there, so it's just been fun times at the Cassidy press conferences lately.
I have to say, I had a real tree growing up.
Okay.
And it was the best. We always bought it right after American Thanksgiving. I loved having the real tree in the house. And then when you're on your own and that becomes your responsibility, we went fake through and through. Perfect. But now I live right outside of Toronto.
Okay.
And my husband's Canadian and their Canadian Thanksgiving is a bit earlier.
Yeah.
When do I set up? When do I set up my Christmas tree? It's very tough. I want to set it up now a little bit earlier. And my husband's like, well, maybe we should wait. We can wait. We can rule it as do it after American Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what do we do? But it's so fun to hear about other people's traditions and what they do. And the small things that we were just chatting about, this isn't really a break.
Yeah.
You have to say break because of the excitement around the holidays. Mm-hmm. But they just had 3 days of no games. And this is kind of what they have now, maybe an extra day, but they have a lot of work to do, and maybe two full days away from the rink.
True.
Is a break.
Yeah.
That's like usually guys, if they aren't skating, they're coming in for treatment, doing whatever they need to do to be ready for that next day. But to constitute it as a break, it's hard to balance what a break is, but just the excitement, I think, around the holidays, spending it with friends and family.
And it is interesting because we talked about, too, during the break, though, you look at a team like Seattle where they played yesterday. They're not playing again until, I think, Friday. And the Golden Knights are playing with only 3 days in between games. We made so much of this longer break that they had early in December after that road trip and all the games that they played. They ended up having that break built in early December. But now it's a little interesting, as you say, they're in San Jose on the 27th. They've got another game coming up.
But you have to think conversation in the room has to be like, we don't want a long break. We're rolling right now.
Good
we
point.
Are doing well right now. So does time away? You look at the 3 days off before Thursday's game against Vancouver. The start there was not great.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you're playing Vancouver off of a back-to-back, and they were rolling the first 10 minutes. They were ready to play, and then it kind of fizzled out for them. But in the locker room, you have to think that they're chatting about, we don't want this to be a long break because the chemistry that we have, the position that we've put ourselves in, we want to keep that rolling and keep that momentum rolling into the new year.
And I think the good thing for the Golden Knights, too, is that even though they have that one game against the Sharks coming up on the 27th, they do have a lot of home hockey coming up. Of course, they're home tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. They have that game against San Jose. But then the 29th, Calgary comes to town. They have a New Year's Eve game against the Montreal Canadiens. And they still have two more games at home to start the new year against Philadelphia and Buffalo. Another trip to San Jose, and then three more at home. So it's going to be a lot of home hockey. So I think the small break is nice, having those 2 days away from the rink, but it has to feel nice for them to get at least settled in after a hectic November when it seemed like they were always on the road, and then even leading into some home hockey, they were playing every other day. It felt like they didn't have a chance to breathe. Now they have a chance to breathe. They're at home a lot, and that's got to feel good, too.
And for more than half of the team, they will or won't have a break come February.
True.
So
yeah.
For those competing for their country, obviously an exciting time. It's in the middle of your season, at a pretty prime time of your season, but they're ready to don their country's colors. But for others, that will be a good, so to speak, break as well without any games. But you have to think that now this chunk is almost over, so they're going to take the 3 days, 3 day break, and then looking to the next 6 weeks before another break. So if you're Bruce, how do you prepare for that? He talked the other day about putting the season into three different segments.
Yeah.
Training camp, finding your identity. Excuse me. And then right after training camp, you have your lines, you have your personnel. Mm-hmm. Well, now injuries happen. So now you're looking Thanksgiving to Christmas. That's your second chunk of knowing your identity. And then after that, you're looking to trade deadline. This is the personnel you have.
Yep.
How are you going to utilize it? But now does the Four Nations throw a little bit of a wrinkle in that plan or in the preparation? You don't know. But when your team is successful, maybe you don't even look to that. Maybe you're just relying and taking advantage of rolling the lines and then not rolling the lines, shuffling the lines, putting someone on the top line tonight and putting Dorofeev on the third line and putting Lezinski back at center.
It's a learning process. It's
exactly. And it's a long season. Mm-hmm. It's a long season. Injuries are going to happen. I think Vegas has played their full lineup 2 to 3 times.
Not a lot.
If that this season.
Which has been a theme over the past few years, too.
But they've been successful with it. So that mm-hmm. speaks measures to the depth of your lineup and the ability for coaches to coach.
Yep.
With what they're given, what they have, but also going through that depth of the lineup. I can't imagine playing a long season, but then being successful and now going into playoffs where it's a yep. whole different ballgame.
They're winning. That's the big thing for Bruce Cassidy, despite all of the shortcomings that he might want to see as a coach overanalyzing things. They're winning on the ice, and that helps a ton for the overall mood of the team, for sure. We're going to take a quick break here on Nighttime at Noon. When we're back, I do want to talk a little bit of Four Nations with you, and we'll see how things are developing leading up to that for the VGK. Justin Russo, Megan Bozek with you on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon. Don't you wish you could keep up with the VGK right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, buy, and transfer tickets, play new exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the App Store and Google Play. Justin Russo, Megan Bozek back with you on Nighttime at Noon. And, you know, Megan, we touched on the schedule in our last segment and, you know, the Four Nations leading up to that and how that affects the schedule, but really how it affects the schedule throughout the season, because when you have that extra built-in break and you're in November or December and you look at these compact schedules, you're thinking, okay, that's affecting us now, even though it's not till February.
And it's exciting to look forward to why players have a break.
Yeah.
And where players will be going. I know for myself, wearing the red, white, and blue, there was nothing more special yeah. than every single opportunity that was given to you, regardless of how long your season is. If you're having a great season, if your team is struggling, there's every excuse that you can make. But once you walk into that locker room, you see a practice jersey, a game jersey mm-hmm. hanging there. There's something so special about that. But now what these players can bring back from Four Nations to help their team, it's indescribable. Yeah. You're always, every night you're playing against the best players in the world. But now, countries, you're fighting for something a little bit more. It's just such an exciting time for these players.
You see on your screen there, if you're watching on our digital channels, the players from the Golden Knights that are making their way to the Four Nations face-off. You have at the front there Jack Eichel and Noah Hanifin for Team USA. Aiden Hill, Mark Stone, Shea Theodore, Alex Petrangelo on Team Canada, and of course William Karlsson for Team Sweden. 7 Golden Knights, second most of any team in the NHL. Florida has 8 that they're sending to the Four Nations face-off. But again, you touched on your participation in all these international tournaments too, but it feels so fun, and the guys have all mentioned this too, to just finally have best-on-best back at the men's game where it hasn't been for so long.
I mean, I don't want to read too much into that graphic, but who are the two players right in the front?
Hey.
Jack Eichel, Noah Hanifin, is this a little...
We're on American soil, so we can be a little
bit
homer.
What are we thinking here? What are we feeling here? There's nothing better, but also Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah.
On the Canadian staff. So you have a coach, you have players there. I just don't even know how to describe putting it into words. How do they find out that they've made this team?
Yeah.
Obviously a little bit of a predetermination for a few, but getting an email, getting a phone call. You never want to take distraction away from your current season.
Yeah.
But now, best-on-best hockey. It's a dream. But now for these players, it's a bit of an added stress of, now I'm looking forward to 2026.
Yep.
Why are they having this? Olympic
games.
The lead-up to the Olympics, exactly. So best-on-best hockey, there's a lot to prove. You can gain a spot and you can lose a spot, but also you have your NHL season to help you prepare in the best way possible.
And I appreciate the thought that Bruce Cassidy put into some of his decisions throughout the year to put his guys in the best position to make these teams, where especially with a guy like Aiden Hill, trying to start him in strategic situations, you know, you want to win games as the Golden Knights. That's rule number one. That's goal number one. But trying to present Aiden Hill when he can to be the best goalie he can be and to put him in these certain situations against other goaltenders like a Stuart Skinner against Edmonton, where he wants to show off the best so that Aiden can make that team.
Yeah, and playing an Edmonton team, you want to take shots from Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
who doesn't want to take? Well, if I were a goaltender, I would not.
Probably
wanna,
most goalies,
I would not want to be on the ice
in this
against,
instance. Yes,
exactly. So Bruce is preparing not only his players that he will have on the Canadian side, but his opponents as well. Mm-hmm. So as a coach, I find that maybe tough to say. I might be playing them for a gold medal.
Yeah.
So now what kind of position do I put them in? You have to think Bruce is looking at Eichel right now saying, this is going to be tough, but he also knows him better than anyone. So he can take that advantage into the Canadian staff to say, this is how we can maybe shut him down and only allow one goal a game.
And for Bruce, too, he's talked about this, about and what I always love about Bruce is his ability to just take in everything hockey. He's such a historian of the game. He is so excited to just go there for Team Canada and to just learn from all these players. He's more excited, it feels like, than some of the players. He just likes to be around all these great players and learn from them, and it is such a learning experience just being there and, like you said, taking some things back to your NHL team.
And just like you said, he's learning from them.
Yeah.
They're learning from him, but more importantly, he is learning from them. No coach ever wants to feel like they're going to lose their job. They may not be producing like they are that season, but if you have the confidence in any room that you walk in, not just that team, like he was thinking, I just have Vegas for the year. You get a call to say, I'm now going to be an assistant coach of Canada. There's no better feeling. And now it's a different preparation, but knowing that his players trust him and he can trust those players, it's a fully revolving learning environment that you want to be on, and that's the reason you play a team sport.
And for Bruce Cassidy and all these players, it's a lot easier to have that trusted belief with the Stanley Cup ring on your finger walking into that locker room as well. That's got to be good. 1 minute left here on the show. Megan Bozek with us. Of course, you're going to be on the TV broadcast tonight. Final thoughts on tonight's game and being in the booth?
I'm very, very excited to be in the booth with Dave and Darren, and I think it'll be a good game right before the small holiday break, but you have to expect Vegas needs to put their foot on the gas from minute one. So I'm expecting a big game from them, but a quick start.
They want to get those starts dialed in, and they want to get that first goal on the board, something they've struggled with lately. But hey, again, we mentioned that they've gotten the wins on the board, so not necessarily a struggle in the standings as much as it is, you know, in certain pockets of the game. For Megan Bozek, for Lexi, and for Ron Paul back there, thank you so much for listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Merry Christmas and a happy holidays here from Studio 31.